Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
If you have your Bibles, come on, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And thank you, Shelley, for these verses you put here for me. Love you for life for that. Thank you. 2 Kings chapter 6. And if you don't know where 2 Kings chapter 6 is, I'm going to help you out. It's after 1 Kings. Or 2 Kings 5, depending on how you look at it. 2 Kings chapter 6, let's just pray, and then you're going to bear with me as I forgot my glasses, and I'm going to struggle with reading this. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be here at Chicago Tabernacle. Thank you for the great work that you're doing here in this part of the vineyard, Lord. Thank you for these wonderful people who are here. And now, God, I just pray that you would help me to just clearly articulate what it is you want to say to all of us, not just to those in the pews and the seats, but, Lord, but to myself as you're reminding me of this truth, God. So, Lord, I pray, help me not to say anything more than what I'm supposed to say, nothing less, God. We just pray, as the old preachers would say, hide me behind a cross so that Christ and Christ alone is seen. So we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. And let us all say amen. And now I know you're a loud church, so I need to hear back from you, okay? There's going to be certain things I'm going to put on the screen that I'm going to want you to... No, we could take that off. I'm sorry, we could take that off. There's certain things I'm going to want you to read on the screen, and I just need you to read back with me. It will really help me and encourage me. All right, I'm going to read this passage first, and then we'll get to those verses, guys, who are helping with the verses. So 2 Kings chapter 6, and you should have verse 8. And if you have it, say, got it.
Got it.
That sounds like everyone with like an iPad or one of those things. You're there quickly. Okay, here we go. It says, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king said, one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Look up here. So I just want to talk briefly, that means long. I just want to talk briefly about God opening our eyes that we may see. Let me just give you the end of the story for those of you who are Bible scholars out there and you want me to stay true to the text. The way the story ends is you know that the Lord blinds the people who came after them, and as a result of blinding them, then Elisha and his servant took them back to the king of Israel. The king of Israel wanted to kill them, and then Elisha said no. He said, let's just return them, and then they returned back to the king of Aram. And it's a good lesson in there for us because these men were sent by a king. Really, it wasn't their intent to do. They were just following orders. But it was a good lesson in there for us to be kind to those who even want to do wrong to us. I'm going to say it again. To be kind to those who even want to do wrong to us. Because it says, if you read later on in the passage, it says that that the bands of Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory, meaning for a season there, they stopped. And so it's a good lesson in there about being kind to people. But what I want to focus on here today is this. I want to take an Old Testament story, and I want to see how it can help us and encourage us on how to deal with trouble, and to deal with the attacks of the enemy. So we're going to jump right in. Is that okay, brothers and sisters that are here? All right. Now, some are going to be on the screen, but some are going to want you to read in your Bibles. But I want you to look at verse 8 right away. It says, now the king of Aram was at war. Everybody say at war. Come on now, everybody say at war. That's right. They were at war with the king of Israel. And the reason why I wanted to focus on that is because in case you didn't know, here's a news report, okay? Breaking news, news flash. You and I, we're at war as well. And there's someone at war with us. The scripture says this, that our wrestle, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against evil in high places. And so if you didn't know, now you know that there is a war you're in. And so the war is not against your mother or your mother-in-law. It's not against your father or your father-in-law. It's not against your boss. It's not against your coworkers. It's not against your neighbors, okay? Those are not who you're at war with. Remember, those are people who need Jesus like you needed Jesus. And until they get Jesus, they're going to continue to antagonize you. Sometimes we forget where we were. We get saved and we forget we were that way too. All right, I'm going to preach to this side because I hear more amens over here. All right, so sometimes that's the way it is, right? So with that being said, everyone needs the Lord. So our struggle, our wrestle is not against them. And the reason why that's so important to remember, because if you don't remember that, you will start attacking people as well. And that wouldn't be Jesus. You never see Jesus attacking people. You see Jesus loving people. It doesn't mean you stay and be attacked, but you're not supposed to attack people. So the scripture tells us here that they were at war. They were at war. They were at war. And I want to remind you and me that we are at war today. This king of Aram was coming after Elijah, and here's why he was coming after Elijah. Now, here's another thing I want you to know, okay? And these are just different things along the way. I don't really have points. I just talk. I hope that's okay. But here's the thing you need to know. The reason why he was coming after Elijah is because Elisha was a threat against him. He was a threat against the king of Aram because the king of Aram wanted to attack Israel. But every time the king of Aram wanted to attack Israel, Elisha would tell the king of Israel what the king of Aram was doing. You all got that? Just nod? Yeah, okay. So that's what was going on. So every time the king of Aram would go after the king of Israel, it's like the king of Israel had to step on the king of Aram. And that's a good thought too, because what it tells me is that, you know what? We should always be one step ahead of the enemy. I'll tell you why, because the scripture says that we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's schemes, of the enemy's devices, which means what we know he has devices, we know he has schemes, right? We know the number one thing that the enemy loves to do is to get us to not believe the word of the Lord. That was what he did in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Did God really say? So he always goes after us in that way. But we should always be one step ahead of the enemy, in my humble opinion, based on what I read in scripture, especially when we have the Spirit of God within us. We're not waiting for him to come upon us. He's already within us. And the secret things of the Lord, guess what? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, we can know those things. How? By the Spirit. Are you all with me? There goes those amens that I was looking for, okay? So here's the deal. The king of Aram was going after Elisha because Elisha was a threat to his kingdom, but also because Elisha was a help to others. I hope that ministers to you. I hope right now you can say, you know what, that's me. I'm a help to others. And that may explain why there are things coming against me that are unexplainable. That may explain why there's such an attack on my life. See, here's what you have to remember, as I try to remind myself of this all the time. If you're not a starter, nobody cares. Sit on the bench. Nobody's calling your name. Nobody's sending anyone after you to guard you. Who's going to guard someone on the bench? Nobody does that, right? But when you're a starter and when you're doing something, if you're a mover and a shaker, then people come after you. So again, the enemy's not going to attack you if you're doing nothing. He prefers you do nothing. He prefers you say you're a Christian who does nothing. I'm going to preach to this side now. He prefers that you are a Christian who does nothing, because then you're not using the gifts and the talents that God has given you to make an impact in the world. But when you are making an impact on the world or making an impact in your home, in your community, in the church, then you know what? You're going to face attacks from the enemy. So what we can't do is be ignorant of the enemy's schemes and devices. Are you all with me? Yes or no? All right, so now, why do I say that? Because verse 14 tells us this. Then he sent horses and chariots, and everyone read that, and a what? Strong force there. And here it is. They went, read that. They went by night, sound like tongues going on out there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Notice, they went how? By night. Now, why is that so important? Because, see, that's when the enemy gets you and me. It's like when we're resting, because that's what night means, right? It's resting. We're resting. I don't think too many people here, maybe you do, forgive me if I'm talking in a way that doesn't really relate to you, but for the most part, when we fall asleep, it's because we were able to fall asleep. There's a resting that takes place, and we're not expecting anything to take place while we're sleeping. We're expecting things to take place in the morning. So at night, the enemy comes at night when it's unsuspecting. The enemy comes to catch you off guard when you're resting. That's when the enemy comes. And so at night, the enemy sent a strong force to come after Elisha. To come after who? Elisha. One man. One man, the enemy thought, required all this strong army to come after him, because that's how powerful this one man was. So now let's get into the story a little bit more. So now, can you picture this? Here it is. Elisha is in the house. It's the next morning. His servant, he doesn't even have a name, poor guy. He doesn't even have a name. He comes out, and as he comes out to possibly go get the paper or to do whatever it is he's doing, right? He comes outside. He gets the morning paper or whatever he's doing. He gets up, and he looks up, and he goes, oh, snap. Why is he saying that? Because as he's looking around, what does he see? He sees horses and chariots all around him. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because when I went to sleep at night, there was nothing going on. But when I woke up the next morning, all of a sudden there's trouble outside. Maybe you've never experienced that. Maybe you've always had peace. But for the rest of us, there's been times where there's just been peace, and out of nowhere, trouble has come. Out of nowhere, it was a great marriage, and now out of nowhere, he changed or she changed. The children were doing so well. I mean, my goodness, she was a model student. He was a model student, and out of nowhere, they just changed overnight. That means you never had any teenagers, because if you had a teenager, you would know exactly what I'm talking about right now, right? But you understand my point. Or you go to work, and you know what? Everything is fine. As a matter of fact, they're ready to give you the corner office. The next thing you know, the next week, you realize stocks have gone down, and they're talking about layoffs. That's trouble out of nowhere. That's an oh, snap moment. It definitely is an oh, snap moment. You come out, and you're like, oh, snap. What happened here? And that's what happened with Elisha, with Elisha's servant. Again, he's so used to being with Elisha, you know, hey, Elisha moves and does things. He's parting seas. He's parting rivers, I should say, like Elijah did. It'd be everyone's reverencing him. So I'm rolling with the big dog. That's how we say it back in New York. I'm with the CEO. And as I'm with him, all of a sudden now, trouble comes. But I love Elisha's response, because Elisha's response is a response that I want to just leave with you and me today. And that is, if you look in verse 16 says this, and I want you just to read what's underlined, and I want you to read it nice and loud. Please, here it is. You ready? Don't be afraid. One more time.
Don't be afraid.
Yes, don't be afraid. And I believe with all my heart that that's the word of the Lord for some people here this morning. That I don't know what you're going through. And I can sit here and go through A through Z and try to figure out what's going on in your life. But let's just say X plus Y equals your problem. We'll do it as an algebra equation here, okay? But whatever it may be, the Lord is saying to you this morning, when you got out of bed, the Lord wanted you to know, as you drove all the way to church today, when you came in and they were singing How Strong and Mighty Is, God wanted you to know and remind you, don't be afraid. Like Elijah was saying to his servant, hey, You need to focus on this, that there are more with us than there are against us. Now, let me tell you why you shouldn't be afraid. This is going to blow your mind. I promise you, it's going to blow your mind. If I was in a Baptist church, I would say, turn to your neighbor and say, but I'm not going to do that, okay? And all you former Baptists, don't be upset with me right now. I was joking. I was just joking. Just trying to get to know you. It's our first date right now. Okay. But listen, here it is. Here it is. The reason why, listen to me now, the reason why you should not be afraid is simply because the Lord is with you. I think so many times, amen, we're going to clap, let's all clap. And we're just affirming, that's all we're doing, we're just affirming that. But listen, I think so many times we forget that simple truth. We want to get so deep that we're so deep that we're not reaching, we're going so deep that we're really not obtaining the truth of what God wants us to know, which is this, that he is with us. Here's a few verses for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the latter part of that verse, you know, it talks about not loving money and things like that and being content. But this is what it says. Because who has said? Because who? That's right, because God has said. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And let me tell you something, that wasn't just written by the writer of Hebrews for the people, those Hebrews Christians who were being persecuted. It was said to Joshua, and the Lord wanted us to know in the New Testament, hey, listen, you never have to be afraid. You know why? Because I, God said. Now, if Tyrone told you that, you might have something to worry about, okay? Not because I wouldn't do my best to be there for you, but things happen, traffic, you know, an emergency, just things take place that even though I say I'm going to be there at this time, I may not be there on time. But if there's one thing you need to be reminded about God is this, he's always on time. And God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I love what it says in Amplify. It says, never will I leave you without support. That's God's word for you and for me today. Never. So you are not to be afraid. Let's look at a few more. 1 John 4, verse 4 says this. He says, you, dear children, John's writing, are from God. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one, come on, everyone, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's a powerful truth. You know, you and I should walk around, you know, not cocky, but there's like a confidence you should have. That no matter who's against me, greater is the one that's in me than the one that's in the world. Greater is the one who said he would never leave me nor forsake me than the potential of a job layoff. Because I can say like David, I've been old and I've been young and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. So greater is he that's in me than the one that's in the world. Here's another one for you. Psalm 125, verse 2. I love this psalm. It says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord, what? Surrounds his people when? Sometimes? No. Both now and forevermore. As the mountains, now I've never been to Jerusalem, but I hear there's some mountains there. I've never been. And I like to believe God's word says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem. But notice what he's saying. As you walk around and as you see mountains, okay, maybe this will help some of you. I grew up in the hood, so they have projects. As the projects surround you, I don't know, some people can relate to that. Apartment buildings, you know, not all of us grew up in the suburbs. But as the buildings, whatever you walk around, as you go downtown Chicago, you see skyscrapers, maybe that will help you. Just think about it. As you're walking and you're surrounded by such magnificent buildings and you're so caught up with that. He says, listen, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. So this is why he says, do not be afraid. One more, Romans 8:31. Here's what it says in Romans 8:31, and we love this. We love reading, you know, death and life and demons and all that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And, of course, he's talking about accusations here. And he says, what then shall we say in response to those things, meaning accusations? He says, no, if God is for us, who can be against us? Come on, say that nice and loud. If God is for us, who can be against us? One more time. If
God is for us, who can be against us?
Now, I have you repeating this over and over because it's so important that we get the word of God in us. It's so important that we don't just have a church service, but that we come to get the word of the Lord in us so that we can walk out of here on the word of God. Because notice what the writer is saying, Paul is saying, if God is for us, how many believe today that God is for you? Let me see your hands. And let me see everyone's hands if you believe that. Yeah, if God, so guess what? Breaking news again. Who can be against you? And even if they are trying to be against you, which people can be against you, they can't overtake you because greater is he that's in you than the one that's in the world, and he's always surrounding you, and you don't have to trip because he said, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Can we put our hands together and bless the Lord? Amen. So don't be afraid. Whatever you're facing today, don't be afraid. This is why this young man needed his eyes open, because let me tell you something. Based on your perspective, if we can put that up, please, based on your perspective, you either experience panic or peace. Isn't that true? Because how many have been in a great prayer meeting or church service, Sunday service, and you know what? And you got that word of the Lord in you, and you walked out of here on fire, charged up, ready to take on the world, your perspective changed. Why? Because you were in the presence of the Lord. It's like Isaiah, in Isaiah, I think chapter 6, where it says that he was in the presence of the Lord. He saw the train of his temple fill the temple, and he says that I am a man of what? Unclean lips. He realized in the presence of the Lord. How many know? In the presence of the Lord, everything changes, right? And so, listen, based on your perspective, either you'll experience panic or peace. And so here we have one guy, we have the servant, he experienced panic because his perspective was, we have problems. But then there was another person who was Elisha, he didn't experience panic. What did he experience? He experienced peace. Two people seeing the same thing but experiencing two different emotions. The same way it can be like in a church service right now as I'm speaking. Everyone's hearing what I'm saying. But some people are going to leave out of here saying, not me, but they're going to say, yo, God spoke to me today. Others are going to say, I heard what the Lord said, but. See, what's the difference? It's because, like this guy here, what's happening is that the servant, you know what happened with the servant? He couldn't see beyond his problem. And for you and I, we can't see sometimes beyond our problem. All we see is that, you know what? She's not the woman I married anymore. He's not the man I married anymore. This, you know what? That's my child is not the person he or she used to be. Some of us are like, you know, I went to school. They told me if I go to school, I'm going to get this degree and I'm going to have a great job, but I'm not there yet. All I see are the student loans that I have to pay back. Sometimes we just don't see beyond the problems. Sometimes it's our health issues. We can't see beyond the problems. And when you can't see beyond the problem, the thing you focus on is the thing that you become, if you will. Amen. How many understand what I'm saying there? Say amen. Amen. Here's what Paul says. And again, we're in 2 Kings 6. I'm just using the Bible as a commentary to just support this point, okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Because, you know, jars of clay, very frail things, nothing important about that, right? He says, but all this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side. And if you feel any of these things, just let me hear amen, amen, something, so I know you're there, okay? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. That should be a bigger amen. Okay, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, all right? So notice, there are things that happen there. This is the Apostle Paul saying, hey, you know what? We've had some issues. Next verse, please. He says this, we're skipping out of verse 16, says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. How? Day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. For our light and momentary troubles, I don't have my glass. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, the problem, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is what? Eternal. Amen. Let's leave that up, because I'm hoping as these verses are going up that you can just write them down and maybe use them as a type of devotional for the week if you don't have a devotional resource that you use. Because listen, he's saying, listen, look, we have all this stuff that happens to us. It's called life. Things happen in life. He says, and we have a choice. We can look at the thing that's temporary, which is the problem, or we can look at the thing that's eternal, which is the blessing of the Lord in the problem. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Because here's what you need to remember and I need to remember all the time, that there's always a season, right? We have seasons. We could put that next thing up. There's always a season, but there's always a reason for the season. So things come for a season and always a reason. Read that nice and loud with me. Things come. One more time. Things come for a season, but always for a reason. And I'm corny like that. I try to come up with little things that just keep us, to remind us, okay? But it's important. Things come for a season. And we all know what a season is, I hope, right? It means it comes and it goes. That's what a season is. It doesn't last forever. Although, how many know, sometimes it feels like it's forever, whatever that may be. But things come for a season, but there's always a reason behind it. Here's what I'm learning about the Lord, and I'm basking in this about God. God is not in heaven experimenting with Tyrone. He's not. God is not in heaven saying, let me see what I'm going to do with his life. God already had in mind what he wanted to do with me. While I was in my mother's womb, he knitted me together and put me together. So he already knew what he wanted to do with my life. And the same thing with my life. God knows what he wants to do with your life. And in order to get us to where he wants us to be, you ready for this? He has to allow certain, he does certain things, and he allows certain things to happen. Because at the end of the day, God's will is to draw us closer to him. And God will do whatever it takes to do that. This is where we talk about the sovereignty of God. Many people don't like that too much because what it means is that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he chooses to do it, and the ends always justify the means. And sometimes it just, how many know, it doesn't feel good. And here's what I've learned. God doesn't take your feelings into consideration when he's doing what he needs to do with your life. That's the truth. I like what you said. Say that. Somebody said, say that over there. That's the truth. Think about Mary and Joseph. You think he took into consideration their feelings? That she would be talked about? That he would get hurt? No, it's just, I got a plan to fulfill. And the moment you signed up and said yes to me, you lost all rights. And now you belong to me. It's the truth. And so, as a result of that, he's going to do whatever he needs to do to get us to wherever he wants us to be. And so that means in life, guess what? Yes, it's going to be the devil. Yes, it's going to be God. Sometimes it's going to be God. And then sometimes it's going to be God allowing the devil to do certain things, like he did with Job. Remember, it was God who said to the devil, "Have you took notice of my servant Job?" Sometimes we want to say, "God, don't bring me up." Right? Don't bring me up, God. But that's what happened. You read the scripture in Job 1 and Job chapter 2. And then he didn't do it once, he did it twice. But it was God do what he needed to do in Job to break Job because Job had a hint of pride in his life. And so God will do what he needs to do to get us to where he needs us to be. Are you also with me, yes or no? Yeah. All right? So this is why God allows certain things to come into our lives. And this is what happened with this servant now. God allowed this to happen. Obviously, he allowed it to happen because he wanted to teach the servant something, but also he knew we would read this today. And here's what I want to say to you and I, what Elijah said to God, what Elijah prayed, which is, God, Lord, please open his eyes. Why? So that he may see. Give me illumination. Help me to see beyond the problem. Help me see that there's a purpose for the pain. Help me to see that there's a reason for this season in my life. If the musicians would get ready to come, please. Because here's what stands out to me when I think about this. When he opened his eyes, all of a sudden now he saw all of these chariots of fire. I love the way God says, "You can bring chariots, I'll bring you chariots of fire." Okay? You got horses and chariots, I have horses of chariots of fire. I'm sure there's a sermon in there. I don't have it, but I'm sure there is a sermon in there somewhere. But the point is, he now opens his eyes and he sees these chariots of fire. But here's my question for you, brothers and sisters, and I really want you to think about this, okay? Did those chariots just appear? Or were they always there? In case you didn't know the answer, they were always there. That's why he said, "Lord, open his eyes. Help him to see beyond what he's seeing now. Because, Lord, if you open his eyes, then, Lord, he'll see the purpose behind the pain. He'll see the reason for the season. Open his eyes so that he can see you're in this, God. You have never left us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. There are more with us than there are out there." Because I'm sure, hey, amen, amen. Let's put our hands together. Because I'm sure when Elijah said to him, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny. I know sometimes you guys laugh. I'm really not trying to be funny. It's just how it reads. I'm sure when Elisha said to the servant, "Why are you tripping? There's more with us than there are with them." I'm sure the servant went, "Cuckoo, he's cuckoo, he's cuckoo." I'm sure he must have like said, "He's crazy. What do you mean there's more with us than there are with them? I don't see them. I don't see us. I just see them." But guess what? Us was always there. In other words, the answer to the problem was always there. The reason for the issue was always there. What God was doing was allowing, like J.B. Phillips said, who's this Bible scholar, he said this, man's extremity is God's what? Opportunity. See, God uses your difficulty and my difficulty in life. He uses our situations that cause us to panic. He uses that to just show himself faithful once again. And this is why, no matter what you're facing, if it seems like it's too much, if there's a lack of peace, you need to pray. And not just on Tuesday night, come out for Tuesday night. But you need to pray Monday night, you need to pray Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Oh, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, you need to pray all the time. This is why the apostle says, pray without ceasing. Man's extremity is God's opportunity, because in every difficult situation, there's an answer. And God, all he wants to do is show himself faithful on your behalf. So we need God to open our eyes. Let me show you what he did for the Apostle Paul, and we're wrapping up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Here's what the apostle writes. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. You know, Jesus loves Paul's life. Paul's life is filled with shipwrecks, hungry, flogged, beaten, flogged, you know, just all troubles on every side, crushed, you know, not crushed, but, you know, having all these problems. That was his life. That was his story when he signed up to say yes to Jesus. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Here it is. We were under great pressure. Can anyone identify with great pressure? Yes or no? He says, far beyond our ability to endure. Has anyone ever felt that way? Like, you know what? I'm going to break under all of this. I know, God, last time I thought that was a lot, but this is way too much now. He says, so that we despaired of life itself. In other words, we were just done. He says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Next. Come on, I was hoping you read that word without me saying it. All right, let's go back, guys. We're going to work this thing here. You ready? Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. One more time. Go back, guys. I'm not trying to be funny. I want you to get this. Listen. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened. What happened? This season. This pain. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Listen, he goes on to say, he has delivered us, notice, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will what? Deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that we will what? Continue, that he will what? Continue, that he will what? Continue to deliver us. Now let's put our hands together and bless the Lord. This is why I love God's word. I just love God's word. It encourages me because I feel like that. There are times in my life, a lot more times than I like to admit, that I just feel like I'm not going to make it. Whether it just be in my home, sometimes the finances, the things going on in the church, my own struggles. Yes, pastor's struggle. My own insecurities, just things I feel like I'm going to blow it. And then the word of God reminds me that God delivers. And what Paul is saying here is, listen, we thought we were going to lose it all. We thought we weren't going to make it. It was just too much for us. But then I realized this happened so that we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but that we would rely on God who delivered us, who is delivering us, and who will continue to deliver us. Because God is a delivering God. Amen. Now listen, now I'm really closing, it's my third one, so I'm really closing now, okay? This is important now, all of this was important, but listen to me now, because again, I don't know what season you're in. I wish I knew, because then I could be more specific in what I'm saying to you. I don't know what season you're in, but I imagine you're here this morning and you're in a season, some of you, and it's a difficult season. Doesn't matter how old you are, young teenagers here, or whether you're the eldest senior here. I just know this much. What we can't do is go off of what we see with these eyes. This is why Paul prays in a prayer in Ephesians 1, I think 17 around there, and he talks about that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened. Because we need to see through spiritual eyes. We can't be like the rest of the world who sees through these eyes and they panic. No, we need to see through the eyes of our heart, through the Spirit. Because what did Jesus say? My peace I leave with you. And here's the thing about the peace that the Lord gave us. He said the world didn't give it to you, right, my sister? The world didn't give it to you. And guess what? The world can't do it. The world can't take it away. But when we focus on our problems, we're allowing the world to take away our peace. That just doesn't make sense to me. So it's no. God, open my eyes that I might see. I met with a senior citizen some weeks ago, right when I was preparing this message, that's how the Lord encouraged me to share this at my church that time. Here's what happened. I met with a senior citizen. I do my best to make home visits. And this senior citizen, you know, she's bound. Not really bound. She just can't move about as much as she used to. And so she was there. We were talking, spending some time. And I loved her cooking because she would make, she's from one of the islands. And, oh, God, we won't get into that right now. But it was good food. Well, you know, she's been, prohibited because of her health issues from doing those things she used to do. So we're sitting there, we're talking, and she starts crying on me. And, you know, she's like a mom to me. Anyone who's old, they're like mothers to me. And she said, you know, Pastor, I just don't understand. My husband is 8 years older than me, and he's well in his 80s. And she says, and you know, look at him. He walks around. He can move. He can do whatever. And it just, look at me. I take 10 steps, and I got to sit down. She says, I just don't understand this, Pastor. Why did God do this to me? Why has God allowed this to happen to me? And I learned early on in ministry, if you don't have anything to say, just shut up. Just don't say a word. Let the Holy Spirit minister to people. You just sit and you listen to them. Because what am I going to say to her? Well, I mean, really, what could I say? I didn't have anything to say to her at that moment. And she kept talking and talking. And I'm praying, God, I can't leave her thinking that you don't like her. Because that's what that was in her mind. I can't leave her thinking that you don't like her, God. I can't leave her thinking that you don't love her. This is twisted thinking. Lord, help me. So she continued to talk. And she said, you know, because, Pastor, look, I can't go to the stove and make the food I want to make. You know how I like to make? And she named the things. And I said, yes, sister. Yeah, I know how you like to make those things. And she said, but now, Pastor, because the doctor says I can't eat those foods, now my daughters are doing all the cooking, and now all they make for me is healthy stuff, and it's bland. And I said, thank you, Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit made it real to me right there. I said, well, sister, yeah. You know, I was practicing my message. You know, there's a reason for this season. I said, because Sister Yap, here's the deal. If you could go to that stove and cook, you would be cooking all the wrong things. Instead of me sitting here talking with you and Brother Yap, I'd only be talking to Brother Yap because we would have had a funeral for you because you would have eaten the wrong foods and you would have died. So in this season, the Lord is teaching you how to eat healthy so this way that you can live a longer life. Do I get an amen, somebody? Because trust me, if she could walk, she'd be over that stove. Yes, she would. That Friday night, God is just faithful. We're having couples bowling. And as the couples are bowling, couples from another church came and wanted to participate. We allowed them to come. Of course, we want to fellowship with other people. There's a guy, I have known him for a few years. He was a big, strong guy, Pastor Matt. He used to fly planes, right? Big, strong guy, flew planes. But he had a stroke about a year ago. Christian. And so now, you know, he's not able to move about as fast as he used to move about. Obviously, he can't move about at all, really. But he's much better than when he first had the stroke. So he's sitting there talking to me, and we're having a conversation. He's like, you know, Pastor, since the stroke, you know, I haven't really been able to do anything. You know how I like to fly planes? I said, yeah, I know, so-and-so. And he's going on and on. He goes, I just don't understand this. So I told him the story about the senior citizen. And I said, well, you know, I just had this conversation. I went through it with him. And he says, I see. He said, and he mentioned his wife, he says, you know, since the stroke, we've been spending so much time together. Prior to the stroke, we didn't spend any time together. So this had to happen in order for us to spend time together. Listen to me. There's a reason for every season. But what we need God to do is to open our eyes as to why he's allowing this to happen now. And when God opens our eyes, what we need to see is Jesus behind the problem, ready to solve it for us. Do I get an amen, brothers and sisters? I'm going to ask. That's why this is our prayer. This is our prayer today. If we could put that last verse up. This is our prayer. And Elijah prayed. Everyone nice and loud. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. I just want you to change his with my and he with our. Ready? Open my eyes, Lord, so that we can see. I'm sorry, so that we may see. Ready? Open our eyes, Lord, so that we can see. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Thank you for, with every head bowed and every eye closed, thank you for allowing me to be here with you this morning. But I didn't come just to fill Pastor Toledo's pulpit. I like to believe I'm here on assignment as he's on assignment in BT right now. And I like to believe that you didn't come here today just to get your Jesus in and to leave. I like to think you're here today because God has ordained for you to be here this morning and to hear this word so that you can be encouraged and that you can seek to have your eyes open. So one of two things can happen here. You can sit and say, okay, I got a little something like that, and walk out of here and not have your eyes open. Or you can respond now to this call to say, God, open my eyes so that I can see. Because maybe you're just in a difficult situation right now, and maybe the truth be told, that problem is so huge you can't see beyond it. You can't see the Lord behind the problem. I hope by the grace of God I was able to articulate what the Lord is saying to us today. Forgive me if I didn't do a good job with it, but the bottom line is I hope that you would just say, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see. So if you're here today and you would say, Tyrone, you know what, that's me. There's a problem that I'm facing, and the truth be told, I want to see beyond it, but it's so big, so huge, that somehow at times I can't see beyond it. I just want you to do me one favor. Can you just stand to your feet so that we can pray for you? If that's you today, just stand to your feet. Just stand quickly though. Don't look to see who else is standing. This is between you and the Lord now. Pastor Matt, if you would come. And I want for those who are standing, they can't come forward, Pastor Matt. Those of you who are standing, there are going to be some people here going to be ready to meet you. Come on, just come to the altar right now. Just come quickly to the altar. The altar, I like to call it, is a place of new beginning. It's a place of laying down your life and picking up what God has for you. But just come. And I just want to encourage anyone else that's out there that you would say, you know what? I need my eyes open. I need God to really show me this reason for this season. I want to encourage you, don't let pride get in the way. Here's what the scripture says: God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In other words, if you humble yourself, God can do the very thing that you have need of. So I want you just to come. Pastor Matt's going to come in a little bit. We're going to just pray for you. But even as you're at the altar now, just begin to talk to the Lord. You don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you or do anything like that. You can just talk to the Lord. Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes.
We're going to pray in a second. I want everyone to stand to their feet. For those at the altar, just stay right where you're at. Church family, this is the word of the Lord. You want to know why? We can confirm it. This last Tuesday night, showing of hands, how many of you were in the prayer meeting this Tuesday night? Okay, for those of you who were here, we were at this altar crying out to God. And Pastor Toledo said, you know what? I feel tonight we need to pray for our church. And we specifically prayed, Pastor Tyrone, that God would open the eyes of the church, that God would open the eyes of our heart, that he would give us a new vision of him. And then providentially, this morning, Pastor Tyrone brings the word of the Lord, and he, in essence, it's an exclamation point from God, saying, this is what I want to do today. This is what I want to do. Come on, let's close our eyes. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. We're going to respond to the Lord today. We're going to respond to the charge that we have heard. The Lord is standing by. We're going to believe and that God is going to open our eyes. He's going to open our eyes. He's going to allow us to see today. He's going to allow us to see. He's going to push our minds and our very spiritual eyes beyond our circumstance. We receive the word today. We receive the word today. Come on, let's begin to pray. For those of you in the congregation, stretch your hands out towards our brothers and sisters. Some here have been blinded for many years even, and today the Lord wants to give them understanding. The Lord wants to open their eyes so that they can see and understand the reason for the season that they are in. Lift up your voices for our brothers and sisters. God, open our eyes. Open their eyes. Help them to see the chariots of fire today. Help them to see that you are standing by today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We believe that you're doing it even right now. You're doing it right now. You're doing it right now, Lord. Give us the eyes to see. Help us not to see with the natural, but to see with the supernatural this morning. Open our eyes, God. Open the eyes of your people. Open the eyes of your people, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father.
Jesus, this is the word of the Lord for your church, oh God. Open the eyes of your people, oh God. Open our eyes to see, God. Your hand is moving, God. You are at work, oh God. Let us see, oh God, what you're doing among us, God. Shine your light, illuminate, God, our eyes, oh God, that we could pray, oh God. We look to you, oh God, who illuminates all things, Jesus. God, help us to see past the mountain, God. We can't see, some of us, we can't see what's ahead. God, but there's glory ahead. There's deliverance ahead. You're breaking chains ahead. You're preparing your body, oh God. You're readying your church, oh God. You're making us holy, God. You're purifying us, oh God. Give us eyes to see, oh God. Give us eyes to see, God. We surrender, God. We surrender our way, God. We can't see, God, unless you shine your lights in our hearts, oh God. Lord, pick us up, God. Bring us over the mountain, God. Put us at the peak with you, Jesus, that we could see, God. We could pull others up, oh God. Thank you for the work, oh God. Lord, some of us don't even see the problem, God. Some of us in our church don't even think there's a problem, God. Lord, open our eyes, God. Open our eyes, Jesus. Wake up your church, God. Shake us up, Lord Jesus, that we could see, God. We're a part of your kingdom, God. You're orchestrating, you're moving, God. You're putting the pieces in place, God. We all have a part, oh God. May we take our place in the kingdom in Jesus' name, God. Do it in us, oh God. Do it in us, God. We thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for deliverance, God. Thank you for every answered prayer.
Let's put our hands together and praise the Lord for opening our eyes today. Opening our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful day and this time in your presence. Thank you for bringing the word of the Lord to us. And as we go from this place, we thank you for a fresh understanding of the reason for the season that we are in. And God, we also thank you that today might be the day that you transition your people to a new place of glory, oh God. Help us to pass through with strength in Jesus' name. So we love you, we bless you. God, we pray for the rest of the services. We pray for the second service and the third service. Oh Lord, open their eyes to see what you are doing, oh God. We thank you for bringing Pastor Tyrone here to us, Lord. Bless him, bless him, bless him, we pray. Help him to see and understand all that the Lord is doing in him and his family and in his church. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's put our hands together and praise him one more time this morning. Amen.